Hi, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Chelsea Stratton, and
I'm Sherry McConnell.
And this episode airs on Monday, March 1st, and it's episode 22. Can you believe that?
I can't.
It's so crazy.
It is. I was going to say the same thing. It's crazy.
It's so insane that, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. We're having so much fun, and just I'm so glad we started doing this. So
yeah, and it was really fun to have Vanessa of Lelu Boutique with us on the last podcast. That was so fun to have our first guest, and we hope in the future that we're able to have more, whether they're call-ins or, you know, anything like that. So
right, yeah, we just absolutely loved having her here.
Yeah,
really appreciate all the great feedback that we got. So. Okay, let's see. So we're going to start. I have a couple of things on the wall.
So pretty.
I love this quilt. This is my charming quilt, and it's in a newly published book by Lisa Alexander called Scrap School. And I was super excited to be able to participate in that. There are quite a few quilters who have great projects in there. I think there are three or four of the quilts that I want to start like yesterday.
Yeah.
So, and one thing that's really interesting about this quilt is my quilt was actually inspired by Lisa as well. I was on a retreat with her once, and she had all of her little mini charms organized by color in this box. And so when she asked me to sew this quilt for her book, I thought, I got to do a mini charm quilt. So that's how I started. I did cut up some other fabrics, but I took like five or six mini charm packs and just started sewing away.
And you did, though, when I saw a picture of it originally, and it kind of brought me back because you incorporated like all of our fabric lines. And
yeah.
So I just thought, how fun is this that you can see how they all play together in one quilt?
Right.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I'm looking at Desert Bloom and Clover Hollow, and it's
bringing
really
it back.
Yeah. So the pattern for this quilt is in that book, as I mentioned, Scrap School, and we'll put a link to that. On the table, I have my quilt that was actually in American Patchwork and Quilting about 6 months ago, but now I'm able to have my own standalone pattern for it.
Oh, awesome.
And so that's available now on my shop in paper and PDF.
Yeah.
It's called Coastal now. I when you have a quilt published in a magazine, you can give it your own
new
name when you get it back. So I called it Coastal because it was inspired by the ocean and by the fabric collection that it's made with, our Balboa. Yeah. So this is Coastal, and it's available now in the shop.
Okay, so this is the quilt, like where we had both of our quilts in the magazine, correct?
Yeah, so you can
I didn't even realize
pattern now.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it'd been that much time.
Yeah, like, yeah. So
time is like a different measurement these days, I swear.
Right.
Yeah, this one's really, really pretty and kind of makes me miss sewing with Balboa.
Oh, I know. It's such a
those
fun group.
Ocean vibes.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can see back on the ladder, but I did put my APQ quilt along quilt on the bottom of the ladder because that quilt along is going right now. So
yeah.
It started February 22nd with cutting your fabrics. And then I believe February 22nd was gathering your fabrics, and today I believe is cutting your fabrics. So I wanted to put that on the ladder as well. And
yeah, I remember when you were making that and I thought, oh my goodness, this is so, so cute. I love it.
I love that quilt too.
I just have to like mention again, this is probably too much, but I love that you did the floral for the sashing on the inside of the blocks.
Yeah.
I think that's so pretty. Just little side note, I love when you do that.
Oh,
so.
Thanks. I loved that print from Summer Sweet. It was one of my favorites. Just I love the two-tone.
Yeah. And it's not that I don't love the multicolored prints, but sometimes I'm like, just give me all the two-tone prints.
Yes.
They're so pretty.
Yeah.
And often they'll play as a solid too.
Right.
Which is great. And so I love that we kind of have a mix of both in the lines because sometimes I can't decide. I'm like, oh, love a good multi. But then I'm like, well, got to have that two-tone, you know?
Right.
It's
Okay.
Changes every day.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so we are sharing a brand new collection very, very soon. Actually, we're taping this a little bit early, and
yeah,
we need to double check on when we can share.
Yeah.
So you might actually be seeing that right now. I don't know.
We're not sure on the date.
We know it's sometime in March.
Yeah, and so when we were getting ready to sit down for this podcast, Mom was like, I don't know if we could have had the fabric out on the table yet, but just to be safe, we're not. So if you do, it might be on social media right now. If not, maybe in a couple weeks. So
right. For sure, the next podcast will have all the fabric on the table and quilts.
Yeah. And we're really excited. I know we mentioned this before, but it's just so different. And like the people that have seen it, that work with Moda and stuff, they're like, this is so different for you guys. And we're like, we know, but we're so excited. So
yeah. And we just got our pre-cuts. We got our sample yardage first, and we just got our pre-cuts last week. Yeah. So
I need to take some pictures of those.
So yeah. And so along with that new fabric collection, we will both be sharing new patterns soon as well. So
yes. Mom has all her quilts back. One is
she finished it. And so I just need to figure out when I can pick it up and get it bound. So,
yeah. We'll just say they're all beautiful. And Mom had them all laid out on the bed. And I was like, I'm still sewing.
That's okay. Yeah, you're homeschooling.
Yeah, Mom gave me a really good pep talk actually before the podcast. She's like, "You're doing great, sweetie." I'm like, "Oh, thanks, Mom." But yeah, they're really, really pretty, by the way.
So thank you. I'm excited about them.
Very welcome.
Yeah, and I'm excited to get that last one bound. But I had two different people doing quilting, and so they got quilted rather quickly. So yeah, okay. So, do you have anything, Billy, like before we get going or?
Nope. I don't think so.
Okay. We appreciate all the kind comments about him. I always read over comments when I'm preparing our outline. And so I was reading that this afternoon and noticed how many nice comments there are for him too.
I love the comments that talk about, it's so fun to see like a family working together and uh-huh. Like, you never would have caught me saying that when I was younger. I would have been like, I'm not going to work with my family. And it's so fun. It's so fun to, be able to spend time together and do this. So,
yeah. Well,
yeah, I guess now that you say that, because everyone, obviously you get new listeners as episodes go on. So sometimes I see people say, wait, are you guys mother, daughter? Who's Billy? So yep, that's our mom.
Who's Billy?
Yeah, Chelsea's my little sister and
family. So. Yeah, child number one and child number three.
Yes. So.
Oh, and I guess there is another thing. We might have some new listeners because Vanessa was on our last episode.
Yeah.
So right. I know she put it out. I sort of saw our downloads for the podcast went up a little bit. So that was probably because she promoted it.
So
maybe some people will stick around and listen to some more episodes. So welcome.
Right.
We do it every other week, every other Monday.
Right.
Yeah.
I should say the first, the third, and the fifth Monday. And the fifth. If there is a fifth Monday.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, thank you. See, I'm glad I had Okay. So first on our little list, I just have kind of a goals review since it's the beginning of the month. And I listed it February review wins or things that didn't quite get finished because honestly, we can't be too hard on ourselves in these times. So maybe just like a couple wins and maybe a couple things you're going to keep working on. I don't know.
I actually really love that you put that as like little wins because I really do think every day like on my to-do list, I don't know about you, but I get so excited when I even cross off that I did the dishes or something. I'm like, yes, go me. I did it. Like, yay. So I was really happy that you put that down because after talking and me like venting a little bit about how I felt I wasn't getting anything done this month, I realized I had gotten a few things done. And so I felt a little better, but I'll just start off saying a few things that I did.
Okay.
I did a blog once already this month, which is still huge for me.
Yeah.
Billy and I did the heart pillow tutorial and I talked about it on my blog and we have a video on YouTube. And then I did get all of my quilts cut out. So every single quilt is cut out for the new collection. And I've started sewing. So the past 2 days, I've actually gotten an hour in of sewing everything. But I feel like you mentioned to me, cutting was like the hardest part of it all. Now it's like nice. I can sit down and just sew, right, which is fun. Right. So listen to a podcast, listen to music. And so that's what I've been doing this week so far and this month, I guess. So yeah. That's couple awesome. Wins for me, guys.
Yeah, we have to take all those wins where we can get them. So,
what are your wins, Mom?
So, well, I don't want to make you feel bad.
She climbed Mount Everest.
Stage of life. No, I'm in a totally different stage of life. But I did get all of my quilts sewn and all of my patterns. I'm getting close on getting the patterns finished. I also designed several things for a bunch of different compilation books that are coming out. So I got that done. And yeah, now I've got some more sewing I want to do. We did have a little glitch at home. We found a plumbing leak in our master bathroom.
But yes.
We're going to start some demo next week.
I told Mom, I was like, now you can get your dream bathroom. Nobody wants to hear that they have a leaky pipe in the wall, so it's not fun. But I'm rooting for you guys.
Yeah, we're things are progressing on it, and we've got contractors coming and looking. And
yeah, and you got your gates finished.
We got a gate up in our backyard. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah,
my children won't escape.
You're right. Right. Okay, so March preview. What do you plan to get done in March? What are your March goals?
March, I'm going to have all the quilts finished and all the patterns ready to go when I'm able to share the quilt patterns. That's my goal. So we will see what happens.
Okay.
And I'll still do a blog post and the quilts are like the main thing, and then I can kind of like move on to the next group of things. But that's my goal. I'm going to keep it simple. Just one thing.
I think that's good because we're actually taping this, you know, just a little past the mid of, you know, we're it's still February. So, so you've still got some time in February to get
some
sewing done too.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a totally doable mark.
Totally doable.
Yes.
Late night sewing is totally doable.
Yeah.
What are your...
So
what's your March preview?
So March preview, I really need to do a deep clean on my sewing room in the closet.
I can see that.
The outer part of the room is good. Actually, this was kind of a good thing. My husband's closet is on the other side of the shower that has the leak.
It's always dad.
So he had to move totally out of his closet, and he really like downsized his stuff. And so there was this IKEA bookcase that he had in his closet that I was able to put in the sewing room.
No way.
Yeah. So I got more.
Snatched that right up.
Yes. I snatched it right up for some fabric. Yeah. But my closet is a mess and nobody ever sees that. So I just keeping it real. I need to do the closet.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's good.
So, yeah.
You always feel better when, like, you're excited after you organize something, you know, so then you can move on to something else.
Right. So, okay. And we have some listener questions. I just want to put a call out. Listener questions are dwindling a bit. So if you have any questions for either of us or both of us, please leave them on this podcast or send me an email.
Any questions you have.
Yeah.
We really, really appreciate them. It's definitely... you know, the basis for what we talk about in our podcast. And we just appreciate that so much. So.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Do you want to read number?
You're going to get started, guys. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. So number one, I have a question. Perhaps you could answer on your podcast. How fastidious are you about cutting the threads on the back of your quilt before quilting? I have read that it is important to trim the frayed threads, especially if you have a lighter fabric where a dark thread might show through. I can spend hours trimming threads on the back of a larger quilt and wonder if I'm being too fastidious about it. What are your thoughts? Instantly, when I read this question, a conversation with Marianne and I like popped into my head.
Oh, really?
Because I remade my All-American quilt in Happy Days.
Right.
And there's a lot of, we have that bright red and that deep navy.
Right.
And some of the threads were, they were getting left, and you can see them after the quilting's done kind of through the quilt, like, because right. our ivory is sheer, you know, it's a sheer color. And right. Marion had told me, she's like, hey, there's that one thread there. And, you know, there wasn't anything I could do about it. And I'm like, yeah, I need to catch those, because if they get caught in the wrong place, you're going to be able to right. see them. Right. And just in general, like, I mean, you don't want to have like threads sticking out everywhere, especially on the top of the quilt. If something accidentally gets caught through, I'm always like trimming those off. But
right.
I mean, yeah, I always do a light trimming, guys.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm usually better about trimming the front, like you said, where you yes. can see them.
Yeah.
I need to be better about that. And I've also had quilts come back, and I can see the navy or the red. See the
navy sitting there.
And the other, one of the quilts I finished, a couple weeks ago, I was really good about it because I had a couple days from when I finished it to when I knew I would be taking it to the quilter.
Yeah.
And so I did. I laid it out on the bed, front side up, and I trimmed all the threads. Then I flipped it over, and I trimmed all the threads. And I actually just got it back today, and it looks really yeah. good. I need to be better about doing that.
You can tell a difference when you've got it all cleaned up and ready yeah. to go for your quilter. So
yeah.
I need to be better about it too.
Right. I need. So that was a really great
question. That was a great question, I thought.
Yeah. I don't think you can ever spend too much time doing that, because it's just going to make your quilt look better not to have threads
yeah, showing through. Not to be able to see those through.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Thanks. Great question. This one says, I'm wondering if you and Chelsea could talk about the benefits and drawbacks of the different techniques for folded corners of drawing a line, or using the diagonal seam tape, or using the simple folded corner ruler. So those are basically the three different methods that we use.
Yeah.
And so she wants to know if there are situations in which you would use one technique or the other, or if there's, or do you always use one no matter what? So
I could go on and on about this.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry, I feel like I'm doing all the talking. When I first started, I was drawing lines.
Right.
And I spent hours drawing lines. I mean, it was fine because I'd be watching, you know, a baseball game or, you know, something like that. And like, I will never go back. I have I use the diagonal seam tape 95% of the time.
Okay.
That's just me. It is so much quicker. I mean, right. and it's accurate. It really is accurate. I mean, once everything's lined up perfectly, and I always double check and measure.
Right.
It just saves me a lot of time.
Yeah.
And there's also something I want to note about that Allison specific product. I've had washi tapes before that they lose their, what do you call that?
Their stickiness, the tackiness, or adhesion.
Yeah, the adhesion, the tackiness.
Yeah.
They lose them very quickly, and hers does not.
Like, yeah, you can reuse it.
You can reuse it. Yeah. Yeah. Hers is an amazing product, so I still will vouch for that. But going back, also, the simple folded corner ruler is an amazing ruler. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does the job when you need it.
Right.
And so I can vouch for that one too, because I have it and I have used it.
Right.
But I mean, most of the time I'll go back to that diagonal seam tape.
Huh. That's interesting. I probably use the simple folded corners ruler more than the diagonal seam tape.
I figured, actually.
I don't know why. I feel like if I know I have a bunch of half square triangles and I'm going to chain piece all of them,
yeah.
I might put the diagonal seam tape on. But if it's a truly a flip and fold corner,
yeah,
I just like having that ruler, and I'll just cut it and I'll stack them all up and chain piece them.
Yes.
So I do still draw lines occasionally. Maybe if I'm just making a couple flying geese,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, I could use one of those other methods for those, but I will just go ahead and draw the line if it's just a few and I'm not using a block lock yeah. to trim it down. So
I mean, definitely drawing that line, you're going to have the perfect straight line.
Right.
So you know for sure.
Right.
There's no alignment issue or anything like that. I mean, that you can count on.
Yeah.
But with three kids at home, I am not drawing lines.
That's right.
I am not drawing lines anymore.
That's right.
I'll trim up my little block if I need to.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's good to know all three techniques and be able to use them.
Oh, for sure.
When you need. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another great question. So,
yeah. Okay. You both talk about trying to make sure you sew each day. And Sherry, you are trying to finish work at 4:30 with the business. And you're doing a good job at it, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Do you ever do sewing of an evening for personal projects? Or do you see this as a part of your regular business day? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question.
That is too. A good question because, I mean, when you have time to personal sew, do you count it during your business hours?
Well, one thing I do in the evening is if I have binding to do, I don't like to watch television unless I have something in my hands. So I will watch a television program and bind. So, in fact, tonight, that's my plan is to watch television and bind. But I will occasionally sew in the evening just for fun too, but usually not. I've been pretty good about my business stuff, keeping it out of the evenings.
Yeah.
So
I don't do evening sewing anymore.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant with Finn, I sewed all night long. It was like my time. It was my thing. And even when he was a baby, like because my schedule, that's what my schedule was. And I was up during the night anyways. And I loved it, and now I'm in bed by like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But no, that's something that we're so much alike in, is I can't just sit and watch a show without doing something else.
Right.
And Mason always tells me, he's like, that's so strange that like you can't, like you have to have something to do or like, and I'm like, I don't know, that's how I've always been. Like,
right.
Interesting. Or like when I read a book, I'll listen to music too. Huh. Like it's so strange. I don't know.
No, I don't do that. If I'm going to read, I read and it's quiet.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So the next question, this is a good one. And I actually read this question. I don't know how long I've had this one, but I read it initially and it actually kind of made me think over the past few weeks about something. So she says, how do you schedule your different sew-alongs? I'm working on The Socialites for Fat Quarter Shop, Oh My Stars for Fat Pat Sloan, Valentine's Projects, and want to start yours in February. And then she said, help.
This is a great question.
Great question. I do have a spot in my Quilting Life planner for you to record things like this.
She's prepared, you guys.
The first thing I thought about it was, okay, sometimes you just can't do them all.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and she mentioned she's going to start mine in February. And so I've done that in the past. And it was interesting because she mentioned Socialites because Chelsea and I both are Socialites block designers.
Yeah.
And I made my initial block, I think I was block number 5, and it was at a super busy time. And I didn't get 1 through 4 done. And then I made my block and I did my blog post and I was like, oh, this was so fun. I'm going to do this. And then I didn't do it and I didn't do it and I didn't do it. So after I finished sewing these quilts for our next collection, I decided I really want to do The Socialites. I see it all the time. Fat Quarter Shop has done an excellent job with it. And so I decided my original block was a 9-inch block, but I decided to make the 3-inch blocks.
Oh my goodness.
So this is what I did. I went back and I made my block I had already made in the 3-inch size. And now I've made, we'll pop up a picture.
Look at the little hard one. This was Corey's, right?
Yes. Oh so these are so much fun. These little blocks. I am just having a great time. So what I did was I went back and I made mine first. And then I kind of started where they're at now.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel like it's really overwhelming if you go all the way back to the beginning. So anyway, I'm going to keep up with what they have from now on.
Yeah.
And I'll go back and make, I think they're on 20 this
week. Yeah.
21, 22, I can't remember. But anyway, so this is 5 of the first 21 or 22. So anyway, I'll go back. I'm going to keep up and then I'll go back.
Yeah.
And add in and get those other ones done. But I feel like, yeah, I do. Sometimes you just can't do it all. And the other thing I do is on Saturdays, I work on block of the month. And so I always kind of schedule one Saturday a month where I just try to get all my block of the month sewing done.
Yeah.
So
those are so cute. I'm so doing the 6-inch blocks.
Are you?
Okay. Yes. And my next one is super, super cute too. I can't wait for you to see it.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. These are all navies from the Happy Days collection, which will be in stores very, very soon. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, in March. Yeah. It's shipping like really soon. Hopefully no delays on that one.
Yeah. But, so I don't know if that helps answer the question. Do you have any thoughts on that too?
That's actually what I was going to say is, and that's the exact advice you gave me when I got to your house today is you can't do it all. Yeah. So, but I will say, yeah, I mean, the Fat Quarter Shop one is so well put together. And my favorite thing that you said is basically start where you are. Like, you don't have to feel that pressure of being like, well, right. I have to start at week one and I have to catch up. And no, just start where you are and go back to, you know, get caught up later, you know, just, you know, roll it over, roll it over. And yeah, so I thought that was great advice. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Yeah. So I'm going to, you know, just try to do each one for the rest of the weeks and then try to do as many extra of the old ones as I can until I'm caught up. And
yeah.
Anyway, it's a really cute setting and this will be really fun. I'm just going to do them all in navy prints. So
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I just thought of something. How are your little log cabins coming along?
They're coming along good. In fact, I cut up. Sometimes it's not just the sewing, but it's the cutting for those, getting the strips.
That was me this month.
Yeah.
Cutting was like a chore.
Right. And so I found, when I was doing a little cleaning, I found some old low volume prints from some of our earlier collections.
I love that.
Oh, I was so excited. So anyway, I cut them into strips and put them on the board for the log cabin. So now that'll add some more variety. Oh, so yeah, I'm still going to work on those, but I thought I'd get caught up on these. So.
And now you have new fabrics to add more.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So the next
question. Oh, this is good for you to answer.
Yeah. I actually pulled some books to show.
Look at you being so prepared.
So she said, which quilting reference books would you recommend for a beginning quilter? And I'm going to show this first one and we'll put, I looked it up on Amazon today. It's hard to find. I think you can still get them used. There was one copy. It said it only had one left, but then there were from other sellers. But this is called The Quilter's Ultimate Visual Guide, and it's A to Z alphabetically arranged like an encyclopedia. Cool. This is what I used when I was a beginner quilter, and I would look things up in the index and darning foot. What's a darning foot? I would look it up or, you know, binding. I learned how to bind from this book, just reading it over and over, and it just has all different topics. So This was a really great book. Then later I got this All-in-One Quilter's Reference Tool, and I've got the updated second edition. It's by Harriet Hargrave, Sharon Craig, Alex Anderson, Liz Analoski. You'll recognize those names if you have been quilting a while. But anyway, this has yardage requirements, cutting instructions, setting ideas, piecing techniques, conversion tables, just... I use this a lot. Whenever I'm doing an on-point quilt, I can do the math. I know the formulas, but this has a chart for almost any size quilt that you'd be making.
Yeah.
And so I just use the book. I just use the chart. So this is really great. And this is widely available. So we'll put a link to this too.
Well, I need to try to hunt this down because I love all the visuals in this. That's like really, all of the pictures.
Yes. Yeah. And it's edited by Ellen Paul, who edited several of my quilt books.
Oh, really?
So that I thought that was fun that I was reading her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then this one, this is Wool, Needle, and Thread, the go-to guide for wool stitchery. This is Lisa Bonjean's book. And this is a great reference for any kind of embroidery, there's full color pictures where she shows you how to do all the different stitches.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I just thought this, I'd show this too, but someday I want to do more hand sewing. And so yeah. I'm really excited to have this too.
She has the cutest projects for wool.
Yeah. And then there's one more that I heard about that I have somewhere that I couldn't find. So if I can find it and if it's available, I'll put a link to it.
Yeah.
But
we'll link all of those books.
Yeah, we'll link all these
in the show notes and description.
Yeah. But this one, if you're a beginner, intermediate, or even advanced quilter, I think you should have this book on your shelf. It's just really good. Really, really good information and good tables. And I use the tables. I use the math all the time to save me time. So
wow. You're like
anyway
a math whiz.
So no. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see.
I just wanted to ask if you will discuss how and what products you use to wash your quilts. After such an investment in time and money, caring for our quilts is so important. I loved this question. We've actually had it before earlier on an earlier episode, but I think it's really important to talk about it a lot. And just today, I saw someone post that they had a terrible bleed on their quilt.
Oh, no.
And it was a red and white quilt. Oh. And I think they were able to semi-fix it.
Right.
I was like scrolling through my feed and I just like my heart sank because you just never know. Like I have personally never had a bleed, but I had just took the precautions that you told me, buying the color catchers, washing it. If you're going to wash your quilt, washing it on cold, especially with my girls' quilts, like, and even Finn's quilt, he has like a really deep navy quilt, but the first few times I will just throw those in, and they're not expensive. You can just find them at the store. They're color catchers and you throw a few in and they will catch any of that, crazy color. So
yeah. And I use pretty gentle detergents when I wash my quilts too. I don't.
Same here.
I don't use anything with a bleach alternative. I just use a really gentle detergent. So I try to be careful about that. And I know there are lots of products on the market. So I've never really used any of them.
Besides the color catcher.
Yeah. I know there are different washes for antique quilts and so if anybody knows anything about them, you can leave in the comments.
What you know. We would love to have that feedback as well.
Right. Because I truly don't know a lot about that. So
I felt for this question though, because I'm like, oh, because you spend so much time working on a quilt, and then if you wash it and having a bleed like that, I can't even imagine. Like, you spend a lot of time and put in a lot of work to make a quilt top. So
yes. Okay. And we have one more question. And this is really a good one too, because I've been trying to clean up after all the sewing and sort. Kind of talked about this. We did. So what she says, let me go ahead and read the question. How do you handle prints that are really multicolored? How do they fit in your sorting system? And how do you use them in scrap quilts? So, for example, I feel like most of the prints on the table here, you know, it's going to read one color. This would go in the coral group or the blue or the gray or the orchid. But she's talking about prints that are really, really multicolored.
I mean, I'm going to show you that red Clover Hollow print right up there, the floral. You see that? That's, I think, what she's talking about.
Well, or even like this one.
Yeah, or even that one.
And it's
from Harper's Garden.
Yeah. I'll generally sort things by the background color. Is that what you
do? That's how I do. And the reason I would say that is when I'm designing a fabric line, that's what I do. I would group that print in with the background color that it's in, because the actual drawings or sketches that are on top of that background color, those are just complementary colors to the background color.
Right.
And that's what's great about multicolored prints as well, is that's what you're able to do when you tie other colors in.
Right.
Is you're matching those colors that are complementary colors on that background color.
Right.
And So, I mean, that's what I would, that's how I would fit them. Yeah. Always go by the background color.
Yeah. And then there are also some prints, like, I don't even think we have an example of one where there are so many colors in it that it doesn't have a background showing.
And yeah.
So how would you, where would you put that? I think that's what she might be asking a little bit too.
I mean, I feel like every print has a semi-background.
Dominant theme.
Yeah. I'm in, and I think maybe what I'm thinking of is I'm thinking of maybe like a Bonnie and Camille have really tight-knit small florals that they'll add in their lines that it is on an ivory background, but yeah,
you can't,
see a lot of it because the floral is so tight and it's so pretty.
Right.
And I would match that into an ivory group. I really would. But I mean, or I'd pick the most dominant color on that print and put it there.
Right.
Because sometimes you're going to have a dominating color in that specific print.
Yeah. I think that's what I do. I think I try to find a dominant color.
Yeah.
And just put it there. And then the second part of her question, how do you use them in scrap quilts? I don't like things that are super, super busy. So if I'm going to use something that's really intense, I'll make sure that there's background fabric.
Yes.
Whether light or dark, just something to give the eye a place to rest around that fabric.
Yeah, you need space.
Right.
It gives your quilt space,
right.
Which is really important.
Yeah. So, and those kind of prints are also often really great for bindings.
Yes.
You know,
a busier, tight-knit print, something like that.
Depending on your border.
Yeah. But that's what makes a multicolored print like that so great is you really can use it anywhere. And if you're talking about the ones that are tight-knit, what's great about those is because they don't have a lot of background space in the print, they work as a solid. They work as a multicolored solid. Do you know what I'm saying? So which makes it good for binding or which makes it easy to put, you know, into a quilt anywhere.
Right.
Because sometimes, say you need a background sashing, but you have a spaced out ivory print that still has colors in it, it reads background.
Yeah.
So a busier print that's multicolored doesn't read background.
Yeah.
It reads as a print.
Yeah.
On the eyes when you're looking at it. So.
Right.
I think that's important.
I think that was a good question. So, yeah. And sometimes take a picture with your phone or your camera and from a little bit of a distance and see how it reads in the photograph. Sometimes it will read differently in the photograph. And then also depends on kind of what's next to it, how it's going to read sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes if there are a combination of colors in there, but you have it next to a blue, the blues might stand out because they're being pulled out by that other fabric.
Yeah.
So the visual
is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you're making a quilt, so you're going to be able to see those contrast levels and everything much clearer if you take a step back and if you take a picture. So.
Right. Yeah.
Those were all great questions.
Really
I
great
feel like
questions.
There weren't like very many, but they were all like good questions.
Really good questions. Yeah. So that is, I think we're going to wrap it up for today.
Yeah.
Just,
Would you like me to read some reviews from the Apple Podcast?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I didn't know we had any.
Yeah.
We actually have a lot. And I know you've read some from like emails and everything.
Right.
But I was thinking maybe I'll just start at the ones that came in January 2021 because I'm not sure which ones we already read.
Okay.
Further back. So I'll look into that and get them organized. But I think, you know, there's some good ones here that you guys might enjoy. And thank you for leaving these on Apple Podcasts. That really helps the podcast out a lot. Okay. So the first one, this is from January 1st, from Diane Mac 99. I was happy to find another quilting podcast. I usually learn something or hear about something that I want to look into. I appreciate that it is both a podcast and also on YouTube. If I'm driving or walking the dogs, I listen to the podcast, but sometimes in the sewing room, I watch it on YouTube because I like to see the quilts they show on each episode or in each episode, one on the wall and one on the table.
Oh, that's great.
That was so sweet.
Yes, thank you.
So there's an example of someone using both platforms.
Using both platforms. Too.
I love seeing the reasons like why she prefers maybe YouTube during one setting and listening during another setting.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was so sweet.
The next one, Florida Girl at Work. Sherry and Chelsea are a loving mother-daughter quilting duo that share ideas, projects, and tips from their quilting and family lives. They are authentic and share the best options on their topics of the day, whether it's a direct product of theirs or not. It's about the best option or solution. They are absolutely a bright spot among all the, quote, drama of the entertainment world. Their podcast is one of the few I really look forward to each episode. Thank you, Sherry and Chelsea. Your show is a hit.
Aww. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you. That was very kind.
You said that you feel we're authentic because I really do feel like we tried to be. And
yeah.
Yeah. No drama here, guys.
Yeah. So. There hasn't been any yet.
So, yeah, that was very nice. They're very
That was
kind.
Really sweet. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, just maybe I'll wrap up January. Just a couple more okay. short ones here. Okay. So that way I know where to cut
yeah,
off.
Yeah, where right? to start. Okay.
This one, Mom to Pan DC. I look forward to every episode. It's great, easy listening while working on something else or driving. Love you, ladies. Great job.
Oh, thank you.
We love you, too.
And then this one's from 1234 Bubbles. Oh. And
I love it.
Yeah. One of my favorite podcasts. Thank you, ladies, for all of your tips for a new quilter. I love your blog, too, Sherry. I also love your quilt patterns, Chelsea. I fell in love with Forest Drive as soon as I saw it, and I have it on my bucket list. Have a great 2021.
Thank you.
That's so nice. So,
yeah, those are all from
Thank you.
January 2021.
I so love awesome. You, 1234 Bubbles.
Yeah, thank you. So
that makes me so happy.
Yeah, that was fun to read. Because sometimes I go in and I review and I type some up, but I didn't have time for that today. So
yeah.
That was great. Yeah, and so our next episode is Monday, March 15th, and we are planning, did we mention this earlier?
I can't remember. I don't think we did. So.
Okay, so we're planning on a live stream
yes.
later in the month, and we will give you more information on that
soon.
On March 15th,
yes.
right?
Yes.
It might have to be on a Saturday just with Billy's work schedule and Chelsea's homeschooling schedule that might... be the best time for us to do the live stream would be a Saturday morning, but it would also be recorded on YouTube so that you could watch it at a different time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to join us live, you know, we'll give you the details of it next right. episode, but it'll still be on the YouTube channel if you want to watch it later
right.
as well.
So, yeah. Yeah. And we thought that would be fun to maybe do like a little mini preview of the new quilts on a live stream.
Yes.
And you could ask questions, right?
Yeah.
They could live ask questions while live on, while so. We're on to answer about those quilts.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, it'd be kind of like a live trunk show.
Yes.
Right.
I love okay. that. I think it's going to be really fun.
So yeah. And that's something we've missed doing with the yeah. pandemic. We
definitely
had the opportunity to do several of those together before. So
yeah.
that'll be really fun. So
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Today was so fun.
It was great. Yeah.
It's always fun.
It is. thank you so much for stopping by.